Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Great River Economic Development Foundation, the first Friday of the month, and Kyle Moore, the president of said group, is here today. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to see you.
I love having you on, and you've given your congratulations to my new partner, Quaid. He was not somebody new to our area. He didn't have to move in to take this job, but would you consider it a promotion to be working with me, or is that...
The highest of promotions.
The highest of promotions.
It's an early Christmas gift. Santa does not have to visit Quaid's house now.
He has everything he needs. Okay, well, we'll accept that. We'll accept that. How have you been?
I've been great. It's a nice sunshiny morning here in the Gem City.
You betcha. You betcha. Good Thanksgiving. You're so. You keep yourself in such good trim fit.
Well, you know, it's not easy, Mary, with all the good food in the area.
But did you actually enjoy Thanksgiving?
I did. Good time with family, and that's what's most important.
Okay, that's
and
most
I
important.
And I only had to make mashed potatoes, and those turned out just fine.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
I'm pretty good at mashed potatoes
there you go.
Too. Okay,
there you
we'll
go.
Exchange secrets.
There you go. There you
we'll
go.
We'll exchange secrets later. Grediff's getting ready to have their annual meeting, but before we get to that, I want to talk about politics and pancake.
Yes.
Our own state senator Jill Tracy is going to be in Quincy tomorrow. Grediff, the district, and the Chamber of Commerce. All three individual agencies.
Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday. Well, yeah. Like I said, she's going to be here Thursday. What? Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, great.
I'm like, uh-oh. No, Thursday, December the 7th, from 8 in the morning to 9 in the morning at the Oakley Lindsay Center Politics Pancakes. It's a series that Grediff, the district, and the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce put on. It's once a quarter, free to members, and it's a good way for our members to really get plugged in on, you know, legislative issues that are happening. We had a veto session in Springfield that occurred in October and November. We have some new state employment laws that are going to be coming into effect January 1st. So this is a good way for our members to stay engaged, stay plugged in, to also let the state senator know what issues they're seeing in their business.
Well, this is critically important, too. We had this story this morning about your Grediff annual meeting, which we'll talk about. One of the things you said, we had a little soundbite with you from something you'd said about a month ago, was these changes in these laws. One of Grediff's jobs, one of the things you do for your members, is you have little training sessions or you send out alerts and say, hey, you may not be aware, but you're required now by law to do this, that, and the other thing.
Correct.
And it seems to me like every time the legislature's in session, more and more and more laws are passed. It's hard for business people to keep track of that, so Grediff kind of does it for
them. That's right, and that's one of the services we offer with our business concierge service, where besides our seminars that we put on when there's changes to the paid time off law, or there's a law that any employer, called the Illinois Secure Choice Program, any employer, including nonprofits, over five or more employees, have to enroll their employees in this Illinois Secure Choice Program if they don't offer any type of retirement. So we offer seminars on that, but we will also go in and visit businesses one-on-one, look at their employee handbook, look at the procedures, because, for example, there is mandatory sexual harassment training that has to happen every year. And so we'll just go through and look and make sure that everything's up to date. And then if for some reason it's not up to date, for an example, if it doesn't reflect the new paid time off law, we will give you some language that we've seen recommended that people can put into their handbooks and policies to make sure that they're staying within the confines of the law.
One thing that's very interesting to me is I bet there are an awful lot of mom-and-pop businesses out there that don't have an employee handbook.
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, we have one here at Star Radio, and frankly, you know, I mean, I read it when I was first employed here 35 years ago. We have updates every now and then. The bottom line is it's a big pain in the patoot for an employer to have an employee handbook, but you almost have to have one in order to protect yourself legally.
Yes, you protect yourself to make sure you're not seen as discriminating in certain policies, whether it's your paid time off, how you handle vacation, what's ground for termination, what's ground for an excused absence. And that's what we're seeing with the new paid time off laws, that there's some changes in definition, and also changes in definition for the notice an individual has to give for their time off. And so you want to make sure you have a handbook, even if you only have one or two employees, because you want to make sure that if for some reason there's a dispute between you and an employee, and that does happen, that you can say that everybody's being handled in the same manner. you know, and that's it's there for. It's also there to protect the employee as well.
Right.
So the employee knows their expectations, because what you don't want is you never lay down your expectations of, you know, how many days off somebody can take, what kind of notice they can give you, you know, different things like that we all kind of take for granted. You want to make sure the employee knows what's expected of them.
These things are... they're so important, and yet so few businesses, especially smaller businesses, do them. Is this something that the Chamber and Great River Economic Development Foundation, I mean, this is really where we turn to you for this kind of help? Because starting from scratch, I remember I've been on many not-for-profit boards, and it's been time to update the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime it's time to update the bylaws, you should resign from that board immediately.
That or a change of the head position. That's, you know.
I mean, it's just awful.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's some other not-for-profit agency that already has this that you can kind of copy off of. And that's the thing. The best practices that the Chamber of Commerce and Gretif would have that for employee handbooks would be something they could just kind of copy and say, this works.
That's correct. And we also, you know, I want to plug the fact that if we help entrepreneurs as well, because a lot of times entrepreneurs will, you know, they'll go from their garage to a storefront, they'll say, hey, I'm opening a business, and they haven't thought about the steps that they need to take to properly open their business. And so we will walk through and actually set up a business plan with that individual to make sure before you go to the bank and need financing, you have everything up to date. Because far too many times we get a business that says, they call us up and they're opening, and they say, well, I need grant money to open up. And, you know, if you need grant money to open up, it's probably not going to be successful.
Right.
And you also, you know, what I tell entrepreneurs is that you may not want the strings attached what comes with those grants, because there's a lot of recording and a lot of paperwork. So why don't we give you a good business plan that is bankable, that you can finance locally, or even contact the Small Business Administration with some of their SBA loans and go that route. So we'll walk businesses through that as well, and entrepreneurs, because a lot of times people, there's no need to reinvent the wheel, and we've seen successful either handbooks or business plans, and we can help make sure that business or entrepreneur has what they need.
The other thing that happens in Quincy, especially Hannibal, a lot everywhere around here, you have employees that live in Missouri, work in Illinois, or live in Illinois and work in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And so you have to withhold Social Security, you have to withhold tax, but it's interesting the way that works. If I'm employed by an Illinois company, then my paid off and my minimum wage and all that's going to be governed by the state of Illinois, even if I live in Missouri.
That's correct. So the new paid time off law, there was a lot of questions for people who had employees that lived in Missouri but worked here. And, you know, does that not apply to them? No, it does apply to them, because they work for an Illinois company. And so, you know, those are some of the questions we get asked, and that's why we have the seminars with experts. And, you know, again, I hope that, you know, if there's a business that is, you know, has free time on Thursday morning, 8 to 9 o'clock with State Senator Jill Tracy, that they come. It's a free event to Politics and Pancakes, because there's a lot of times, too, that the senators and the legislators want to hear how these laws are affecting your business. And so that way they can tell that story and advocate whether that law affects your business in a positive or negative way. I don't always want to paint these changes as negative, but
right.
Sometimes they are. But also it helps our state legislators stay connected with their constituents.
What do you think in our community? Everybody needs to go to this Thursday morning. First of all, just a chance to hear our state senator speak and get her take on the focus that's happening in Springfield. We have been complaining for years, you know, in a sense, about the government in Springfield. But this year, it seems, and a lot of that's, some of this is COVID excess money, but we finally have a rainy day fund. We finally have a balanced budget, kind of. We finally are making some inroads, but will that be able to continue? And how will that continue? These are the things that Jill Tracy has great insight into. And also, we need to boost her, because let's face it, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We're fighting against Chicago all the time. So we have to let her know these are the things that are really important to us, And she's got to get some allies up there north of Interstate 80 to see things from our point of view.
She does. And, you know, you pitched this before in the previous segment about the IDOT open house. So Thursday is a busy day, but it's important for our community, our business community, our residents, to go to the IDOT open house at the Croc Center. I believe it's 4 to 6 o'clock because they're looking at the alignment of the Memorial Bridge. And as you know, that's something that we've talked about in our community for over a decade, it seems like. It has been over a decade. Now you're seeing that come to fruition. But these are, you know, where that alignment hits and how they lay out that bridge is a permanent change to our community. And we need to make sure that we advocate for the one that is going to be the least impactful to our residents and businesses. So if people are free, they're going to have a busy day on Thursday. 4 to 6 o'clock, the Croc Center. It's important for our community to step in and tell Springfield and tell IDOT how we feel about the bridge.
And it's pretty much your last chance, because once they pick it, they're not going to change. It's like,
correct.
Those of you young'uns that don't remember this, I'm the old wizened lady in town. Imagine if our Broadway Bridge had gone at Locust, and that was the other option.
Yep.
Now, good or bad, I'm not saying that. Just imagine what our city would look like if the Broadway Bridge had gone to Locust.
Mm-hmm.
It would have changed everything about the city of Quincy and our future growth and development from that day forward. So this is coming in very, very close to where the existing crossing is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to dramatically impact things. However, those who are now on the flyway down Main Street will definitely be impacted, because now York Street's going to be the main egress.
That's right.
And egress into town. So it's going to change things, and it can change things for a very positive way. For some businesses, it could be negative, but if you get ahead of the game,
that's right,
it can be positive.
And one of the things that, you know, Greta, what we advocated for was when they originally designed the layout of the new bridge, they had not really thought about how it's going to affect truck traffic. And we have a lot of, you know, we're a logistics hub here in Quincy, and when you talk about, you know, trucks coming in from Missouri, it was going to be on a real steep incline. And that's really hard for our truck drivers to navigate. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we heard from our businesses and we're able to advocate for and put that into the plan. And that's why it's important for our business community to come to these things, see how things are laid out, and then let IDOT, but let us know at Greta in the chamber and the district, hey, this is how this might affect me. Because then we can continue to be that voice for them when these meetings are happening that are not so open to the public.
And we don't always think about things, and of course it's so easy to criticize, as I well know, but when you drive down and you're going to Hannibal from Quincy and you're down along or you're coming back on Interstate 172, when you go down to make that circle, it's not quite perfect.
Yeah.
And you go, and it really, you
it's
have
steep.
To really hit the you yeah
mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously you shouldn't be speeding, and they put a special sign up there that says, you know, it's 35, slow down.
Yep.
But it's not an easy turn, like, oh, it's just a really nice, gentle turn, and it's all, you know, all the ratios are perfect. It's a tight crank.
That's right.
And it makes a big difference. And so they had to do that for some reason, I'm sure, but I don't think the average person understands that. So we need to understand that if there's something specific that you don't like about the way they're going to present it, let them know. Maybe they can engineer it now.
Correct.
So it won't be a problem. My guest today is Kyle Moore, the president of the Great River Economic Development Foundation. Pancakes and Politics with Senator Jill Tracy is this Thursday morning from 7 to 9. They'd love to have you RSVP by calling the Gretif office, but it is free of charge if you're
a
Gretif
member,
district, or chamber members. And if you're not a member, pay whatever it is, $10 or whatever, and go and listen, and maybe you'll become a part of these groups. We'll take a break when we come back. Their annual meeting is coming up. The pieces of the puzzle will all fall into place. We'll talk about that in a moment. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show brought to you each and every weekday morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Man, I'm doubling up on my coffee this morning. It's a Monday. I need it. If you want hand-roasted beans that are prepackaged, they're really delicious. They can deliver them to your office place, which they do here at WTAD, or you can, of course, get it at your home, or you can go out to your local convenience store and make sure you have a rich, sophisticated, delicious cup of coffee. Harvest Ridge. We just get the regular old signature blend here, but they've got all kinds of like Highlander Grog. That's a good one for this time of year. So are you a coffee aficionado?
I'm
or
not.
Just black guy?
I'm a soda aficionado.
Oh, you're a soda.
I'm a morning soda person. I'm Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper. Orange.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You're still in the Pepsi family.
There you go.
For years, I was the diet Mountain Dew queen, but now I have my Harvest Ridge coffee, so I'm okay with that. But you've got to have your coffee, your uplift in the morning.
There you go.
Yeah.
Especially when you're busy.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Kyle Moore, my guest today from the Great River Economic Development Foundation. Hard to believe another year has gone by, and a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, the 12th, there'll be the annual meeting. Starts with a social hour, cash bar. Kyle's not paying for drinks for everybody. Cash bar at the Oakley Lindsay Center, and then a very brief meeting,
yes.
Just highlighting what's the great news of Greta for this year, and
it's Tuesday the 12th, 5:30 is when the meeting starts. We'll have you out by 6:30, and it's, you know, when I was on the city council and mayor, the Greta meeting was always one of my favorite ones because it was short, quick, to the point, and you learn a lot of things. And this year's theme is putting the pieces together, and we're really going to talk about how all of the things that we work on a daily basis at the Great River Economic Development Foundation and all the things that our community invests in terms of economic development, how they all come together to promote and are a good economy and promote growth. And we're seeing that here in the Quincy and Adams County area, whether it be the opening of Target this year, the Trimark announcement. We've had more people continuing to move into our community. And so, you know, it takes investing in all these different things and putting efforts into all these different things for everything to come together.
It is so critical that we do have this economic development. And because it's kind of a three-legged stool, you know, you've got the city, you've got the county, and you've got Greta. Mm-hmm. And Greta is funded by the city and the county and by some other things as well. But this is a way to keep politics out of economic development, because you've got to work. Like, we've got a Republican governor in Missouri and a Democratic governor in Illinois, and we have two local Republican lawmakers, and we've got a congressman. You know, I mean, you have to be friends and play well with everybody, because economic development is green, not red or blue.
That's right. And then also, you want an economic development strategy that lasts beyond a county board chairman's administration, a mayor's administration, that is continuing on these long-term projects, whether it be a bridge, whether it be, you know, we honored Jim Mantesti a few months ago, and the Greta's contribution to the Friends of the Trail. You know, that Greta was really instrumental working with Mayor Schultz at the time to get that off the ground. And so you really need an organization that has the long-term vision and the wherewithal to have to beat the drum constantly, regardless of who's in elected office. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to highlight at our annual meeting on December the 12th is, one, we're going to honor Chairman Snyder with Adams County Board, Mayor Trope, and hear from them, but then also talk about the different things that Greta does that a lot of times people don't realize what we do on a daily basis, and highlight what all we've accomplished this last year with the help of our partners, and put it all into context of how this is working on behalf of our community.
It is no one agency that does it all.
No.
I mean, and I think we saw that with Target coming in. There was a hired hand that was put out, you know, like I had this morning, we had another sound bite, as we call them in the news, but we had a little interview with you this morning. One was about, you know, you helping, Greta helping people with their employee handbook or whatever. And the other was, well, this is how, you know, we get manufacturing like Trimark and retail like Target. You know, it takes everybody, because when there has to be a new stop sign, you know, designed, or there has to be an access road built or whatever, this could be multiple jurisdictions that have to all get on the same page.
Well, that's right. So, and like United Alloy, you know, not only was looking for land, but they had to find land that was properly zoned or could be rezoned. Did that land have the proper infrastructure, water, sewer, road that led to it? Of course, then there was a family that was selling the land that reached out to the Great River Economic Development Foundation to said, hey, do you know of anybody that might be willing to bid on our land? So it takes all of these things to make it work.
That was done not anonymously, because you knew who they were, but they didn't say, now, Kyle, we're calling you. We want you to tell everybody in the world. No, that was, what's that called? I'm missing the word.
It's confidential.
Confidential.
Yeah, yes,
yeah.
It's confidential.
I'm getting old, Kyle.
No.
You're going to have to help me.
You need
me.
Another cup of that coffee.
But that's just the point. these people wanted to sell that land. They knew that there would be certain clientele that would keep it in one parcel, that it would be the maximum advantage to the family, but also the maximum advantage to our community. And you have to find everybody has to benefit.
That's right. And just a real quick small example, we had a local beverage distributor that was wanting to have a local presence with a truck. They needed to find warehouse space to store the truck. We managed to put them in contact with somebody, and in 2 weeks they had a lease signed. And that works on behalf of all the parties, because now their local person can stay in Quincy, but also that owner of the property who had space available now has a tenant. And that, again, is done when people pick up the phone and call.
Okay. So, folks, you may not really understand everything they do, but if you have a business, are starting a business, are struggling with your business, whatever, this is confidential help for you by calling Gredif. And if you want to see and be part of the networking opportunity that is the annual meeting, if you're a young person trying to become a management level person in our community, I would go shake hands on December 12th. It's free of charge.
It's the event you want to be at.
It's the event you want to be at,
right,
to hand out your card to as many people as
network,
possible.
Network, network.
Happy Christmas.
Yes,
happy
Merry
holidays.
Christmas, yes.
Happy New Year.
Yes. I'll be wishing you a happy New Year. It's been a great 2023.
You won't be kissing me on New Year's Eve, though.
You never know.
Another girl.
I'm now engaged, Mary.
I know. My whole life I've been like, golly gee. And now I thought the world's most confirmed bachelor. This girl's pretty wonderful to take the world's
She's
most confirmed bachelor off the market.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
You didn't even have to go on an ABC specialty show or something.
The not so golden bachelor.
Bachelor Kyle.
Thank
always
you.
A pleasure. Have a great 2024.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a singing competition. I think Kyle Moore should be listening up and be part of that. But right now we head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brings you this report.
How are you?
We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show rambles on. And anytime two police officers appear, you better hope they don't have a warrant for your arrest. But the good news is that Patrick and Jessica Hollensteiner are not here to get me in trouble, but to tell everybody about a new charitable event, a fundraising event for the Police Benevolent Association, the police union. And we've had some lip sync competitions, but now we're going to get people who've got real voices out.
That's
we're
right.
going to try to crown a winner. Who's got the voice?
That's right.
Is what's her name? The blonde haired girl that judges on that. I know there's Reba. Gail Stefani, is she? Gwen Stefani. Yeah, I'm really with it and happening, aren't I? Yeah, I just showed myself that I'm not exactly the most hip happening person.
We weren't able to get Gwen on the show.
Okay, but you are going to have a table of judges that's going to judge.
We are.
So let's talk about this. It's Friday night, December 15th. There's really two aspects of this. It's at the Ambiance. A dinner will be served at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, the singing competition. So the great thing about this is if you want to be a singer, you need to call them right away to get into the competition. And if you want to go and see these great singers, you need to call right away and get your tickets. So there's really, it's two aspects, those who want to perform in front of the audience and those who want to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is it too late to be a singer in the competition?
It is.
We already closed that down?
We've maxed out our people. We've got our contestants. And
can you say who they are? Or is it a surprise?
We have not released any of them yet. So, but I do know that we have.
They're being held, or their names are being held.
We don't want anybody to steal them.
You changed the laws now in Illinois. You can't just hold them without bond anymore.
That's right. Know?
So those names will be released later, even that night.
We're planning to release them. One, they could check out our Facebook page.
Okay.
We've been posting on our Facebook page. We just released three of the four judges. So we have Miss Quincy Shelby Rose. We have Kyle Moore, who was just on the show, and then we have one more that we're going to release, and then Mr. Pettit, who is the superintendent for the public schools.
Okay, and Todd Pennett, Dr. Pettit, he knows a little bit about music since his PhD is in music. I don't know what Kyle brings to the table, but apparently You think he brings something to the table. I didn't know Kyle was a big singer.
Well, we think that he could bring, he's a big public figure in Quincy.
He's a politician, so he knows how to let people down gently.
Exactly.
He won't be the Simon Cowell going, you know.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what we needed him
That's
for.
That's what we need. So the beautiful and talented Shelby Rose, who is Miss Quincy, Todd Pettit, Dr. Todd Pettit, our superintendent of schools, Kyle Moore, and a judge to be named later.
Yes.
And people take this seriously. I mean, you're probably giving away cash money for the winner, right?
We are. We're giving away, first place will be $1,000 cash. Second place is $300, and third place is $150. And the best part about it all is that it's free for the contestants to enter. So they got in for free. They'll get a free meal on us, and I guess that's what they get to be brave to go up and sing in front of all these people.
Okay, so if you're interested in maybe being on part of this next year, buy your tickets for this year. And sit in the audience and see what strategy is the best to win.
Yes.
Because it's not just a beautiful singing voice, although on The Voice, that's part of it. Your stage presence is then developed, but obviously you have to have good stage presence probably
to
win this.
We'd like for them to, you know, obviously get the crowd involved. And, you know, hopefully I think the crowd's going to react. You know, if somebody's up there and they're performing well, I think we're going to get a good reaction.
Jessica and Patrick Hollensteiner, both members of the Quincy Police Department. How long ago did you come up with this idea? I mean, you know, this is pretty, you know, the flattery is the greatest, you know, mimicry is the greatest form of flattery. It's, you're not reinventing the wheel, but you're bringing it to Quincy.
Right. We wanted to find some sort of a fundraiser that was kind of new to us, one here in Quincy, but even just with our Police Benevolent Association. And actually, Patrick was like, you know what? This seems like a great idea. And how long ago do you think it was? Just earlier this year that you said, let's get this in motion and let's put this all together. And
June, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. So we decided, you know what, let's go with it. And we've got a lot of great things planned with the money that we do raise. And like we said, that's what we really wanted to get this started for, was just to be able to get funds to give back to the community.
Okay. And so what are you going to do with that money that you raise?
So a big portion of the money goes to Shop with a Cop. It's one of our biggest events that we actually put money towards, and we just held that Saturday.
2 days ago.
Yes, 2 days ago. And so our Police Benevolent takes a group of kids shopping. We went to Target this year, and we actually put up the money for them to go buy Christmas gifts for their siblings, grandparents, parents, basically anybody in their immediate household. And so the money raised from events like this can go right back to that.
Yeah, instead of having the police officers take it all out of their own pockets, this helps them and it helps children.
Correct.
I want you to elaborate on that, because these are children, unfortunately, in your jobs, sometimes a lot of times you run into people who've made some bad choices. It doesn't mean they're bad people. They are parents. They are sons and daughters. They are people in our community who've made some bad choices. And not only does that impact them, but it can impact their children, their parents, their grandparents, their sisters and brothers that are in the family. And so this is a way to take those people that were impacted by someone else's bad choice and let them know that police officers are there to help as well, right? Can you elaborate a little bit on what kind of reaction you get?
Well, as you said, with these kids, they may see us when we're out there, unfortunately, arresting parents or aunts, uncles, things of that sort. I mean, a lot of times, unfortunately, there are kids present. And even when we try to do that out of the sight of the kids, it's not always possible. So turning the page to being able to do this Shop with a Cop event, that gives them a more positive light of who we are. Even though we're wearing uniforms during that, they still get to see us as other people. We take our spouses and kids, and it's just a huge family event. So they get to be a part of that, a more positive light, and it's really helps build community relations, and the kids love it. They love going and shopping for their family members, and it's just a really good time.
I love it that you take your own families too, because who better to know what 7-year-olds like than another 7-year-old, you know? And obviously they have a budget, and you can only spend so much money and everything, but the nice thing about it is you are also teaching them to be kind to others. It's not about a toy they want for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's about putting something under the tree for their siblings or their parents or grandparents, something that then they can know the gift of giving. And that's an important lesson to learn as a child.
Right. And, you know, especially you had mentioned they may not be in the circumstance to be able to do that. So this gives them the chance to. And you know, Christmas morning when their sibling opens up a present from them, I imagine that they're just very overwhelmed with joy to be able to see that.
It is tough. The family, this time of year, you know, it's a tough job to have. When people make wrong choices this time of year, you know, there is a possibility they won't be at Christmas with their family, or you've already put them in a sentencing situation and they won't be there for the holiday. And the children, you know, they react to this, they understand this, but it's also very important that we, and this is why I know my parents were always, I remember one time my dad got caught speeding. Well, of course he wasn't happy about that, but after it was all over, he goes, "Now I want you kids to know I did the wrong thing. You know, it wasn't the police officer being mean to me. I had done the wrong thing. And so I'm mad at myself for getting a speeding ticket." I'm like, well, that's not exactly how I remember the beginning conversation going. Okay, Daddy.
Changed his tune.
But I mean, the point, little ears are always listening. Little eyes are always watching. And I mean, let's face it. When was the last time you saw the blue lights in the back rear view mirror? I went, oh, good. I'm going to I'm going to be corrected for a poor choice I made. I know I say that all the time.
At a hefty $160
yeah,
fine.
Here comes a chance for me to learn a lesson today. I'm going to sing a Christmas carol right now. But the bottom line is, you know, children need to understand you're there to help them. You
Absolutely.
Are their helper most. When they're in trouble and they need help, they need to turn to someone in a uniform. A police officer will always be there to help them. And so this is a way to show them that when people make bad choices, that sometimes they have to learn some consequences from that, and that's what the police officers do. But they also want to help us make good choices, like buy appropriate gifts for our kids and everything.
Right.
So that's great. So who's got the voice? Friday, December 15th, I have one complaint.
Okay.
I want to just air it publicly, okay? My absolute pet peeve, speaking of someone who didn't get married till she was 53, is when people get a discount for being a couple. You should have, tickets should be $50 and a couple should be $100, and you shouldn't have a special dispensation just because you got a wedding ring on. So
what I will add to that, though, is although it says couple, we've given that discount when people are buying two tickets together. Yes. So you know, I have to be a couple, but two ticket discount.
I'm going to change that to two ticket discount. I like that better. Because, oh, that was my pet peeve. I was quite militant about it. The two ticket discount. Because it basically, you see, you're happily married. You don't think about these things. You have to be an old maid like me for a long time. It's like you're saying there's something wrong with you. You're automatically less, you know, because you're not coming as a pair. So, okay. So $100 for two tickets.
Yes.
What's going to be on the dinner menu that night?
We have a garlic herb chicken breast, roast beef, the loaded mashed potatoes, so they have like cheese and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Green beans, rolls, salad, and brownies.
Yep, I believe.
Who's doing the catering?
Hy-Vee.
Oh, yummo.
Yes. They are one of our gold level sponsors. So
yes,
we have five of our gold level sponsors, and they're one of them. So.
Well, why don't you mention the others if you can? Oh, Patrick, this is a.
Yes, here we
All
go.
Right.
Patrick, here we go.
Put me on the spot here. So we have Drew Miller with Country Financial out there in Camp Point. We have Napide. We have Quincy Recycle, Hy-Vee, and the McLean Restaurants.
Great.
So
okay, fantastic.
We obviously couldn't do these events without those. You know, businesses.
Well, yeah, you can't give away $1,000 the first year unless you have a little seed money to get this
going.
Exactly. But this could turn into something huge, and you hope to fill the ambiance. And obviously, at $50 a pop, $100 for two people, table for $400, how do we get our tickets?
So you can call either my work cell or Jessica's work cell, 217-653-7515.
And mine's 217-440-7656.
We also have a Facebook page labeled exactly how it should be, Quincy Who's Got the Voice. You can get on there. You can message us, comment on one of the pages, and, you know, we'll reach back out to you and we'll deliver the tickets to you.
Okay. Folks, mark your calendars. I think you'll really enjoy it. They've got a group of people that have beautiful voices that are going to sing for you. And the panel of judges, does the audience have anything to say about it? Is there a people's choice?
So there is a people's choice. The people's choice is based off of the amount of money, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fundraiser. So each contestant is
has
eligible.
A little jar.
Yes.
Yep.
That and also how many tables they sell.
Uh-huh.
But we are giving the audience a say. We're shooting around the 30-40% at the end. So round one, all the contestants will go. The judges will knock it down to 7. I think they're going to have a very tough time doing that.
Glad I'm not a judge.
There's going to be a second round. All 7 singers will sing, and then the judges will knock it down to 3. And then we'll have our final 3. Those 3 will be in the prize pool. And after round 3, there will be scoring sheets at the tables, and the audience will be able to participate in who wins.
Okay. So it's going to be exciting. So look for this, a first annual event in Quincy.
Yes.
Hopefully you'll be successful and you'll continue it on. Hats off to you guys for thinking about this and taking this on.
Thank you.
Oh,
we appreciate
these
it.
These things are hard to organize and get going. And I mean, you know, like you said, but once you establish it, hopefully it'll be a huge success, like a few
Absolutely.
Other things in Quincy,
yes.
you know, that will be a success. And we'll see your police union have a lot more money to spend to make the holidays bright and every time of year bright. I know that I've got maybe a minute left, and we've got 2 different perspectives here from 2 different officers that work 2 different beats. We'll start with you, Patrick. What's the most important thing that a citizen can do to help you as a law enforcement officer? What's the thing that really would help support you in your job?
As far as, like, assisting us in cases and stuff, I would say, you know, report anything that's suspicious, you know, even if it's the smallest thing and you think that it's not going to pan out to be anything. We work 24/7, so it doesn't hurt to call us. We'll go there. We'll see if it does pan out to be anything. And, you know, I'd rather show up to something and it be nothing than not get a call and somebody says, you know, well, I saw that and, you know, never made
the phone
call.
I never thought anything about that. If only I'd known, that could have stopped another string of burglaries
right.
or a string of rapes or whatever.
Right.
What about you, Jessica Hollensteiner?
Can you repeat the question?
what can we do to make your job as a police officer easier? What can the average citizen do?
So I would say that although this isn't a huge issue in Quincy, I mean, just watching the media, community relations is something that struggles. I would just encourage the citizens to have a lot of faith in the work that we're doing. Just understand that we're out here just trying to do the right thing. And that's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Just be the transparency with
and
that.
Be patient.
And, yeah. Chief
yes,
Yates was just saying, you know, we're doing the best we can. And really, we have very low crime. And most of the people that are involved
right.
in crime, they know each other. So it's not like there's a crime wave where we have to walk down the street and be frightened. You know,
right.
I mean, there have been 3 murders in Quincy this year. But, you know, am I personally threatened? No. So thank
right.
you for what you
yes.
do and
thank
what
you.
Everybody does.
Thank you.
And
we
one way to
it.
Help them is to go eat chicken and roast beef on the 15th. Get the tickets
right.
now. Go to Quincy. Who's Got the Voice? That's their Facebook page and get your tickets. Thank you so much.